Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
What's good, loved ones? We appreciate you for being here on this October 20th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling. He is Kenny Caraway. We are thrilled that you are here with us. Plenty to talk about. D-Lo and KC power rankings return at the bottom of this hour. What sort of nonsense will Kenny Caraway have for us in his power rankings today? I already know of at least one team you booted out. There is no way you're going to have a team with a fraudulent label in the prestigious
my top five
power rankings. We'll have that coming up for you at the bottom of this hour. We'll talk about the debacle in Dallas last night. What a mess the Dallas Cowboys are, and I'm all here for it. as much euphoria as there was in the air yesterday following a game that took the San Francisco 49ers to 3-3, in the truest words that have ever been spoken, we can't have nice things. And as has been the case for most Mondays this season, when Kyle Shanahan goes and sits at the podium in front of that camera and talks to the reporters on the Zoom call, he usually starts it with some bad news as it pertains to injuries. In fact, I don't think a week has gone by in which he hasn't started the week with some bad news. Maybe there wasn't anything awful coming out of the Giants game, but more bad news for the San Francisco 49ers. It looks like Raheem Mostert is headed to likely short-term IR with a high ankle sprain. Stop me if that sounds familiar. And Ben Garland with the calf strain. Stop me if that sounds familiar. He's likely headed to IR also. And in the case of Ben Garland, and I know the story is Raheem Mostert, but think about where we're at. We just finished week six, KC. We're headed into week seven. We're probably looking at week eight before there's even a conversation about Richard Sherman being back, who has the same injury. Ben Garland's out, and he's out for a very long time. They're going to say it's 3 to 4 weeks, and we know now from Richard Sherman's case it's probably not.
No, absolutely not, man. And it's just another tough blow and another tough year. I saw a tweet or somebody had screenshotted all the list of – like the injury report for the 49ers. And it was crazy. I mean, we had guys coming back week 8, week 9, week 12, to be determined, 2021. Like, it was crazy. And it was all starters, all major players. And it's just another tough blow for this team. But, the dancing and everything that we did, regardless of the injury news or whatever the case may be, that was all done after Monday. You know, I was out here dancing, doing what I do, as done on in New England. And it's going to, this whole thing, this whole year, it's going to test your mental if you're the 49ers. How mentally tough are you guys? I know at some point you're going to need your players, but for the guys that are there, how mentally tough are you? Are you looking for excuses? Are you looking for sympathy and pity? Or are you going to be like, hey, man, let's just go out here and do what we can, man? Let's see.
That's the thing about, you talk about mental toughness. I don't even know if we're... Sure, there's a certain degree of being mentally tough, and that really pertains to being competitive and getting out there, executing the game plan, going forth, being a pro, doing that whole thing. But at some point, you just can't lose any more guys. You know what I mean?
And that's facts.
It's not the team that we cover, but we spent some time talking about them a couple of weeks ago. This is what the Philadelphia Eagles have been dealing with all year as well, as they've lost top name after top name after top name. And they have tried to get themselves together. But you see the record that they have. Like, they're putting up points. They're trying to be competitive. But they're not winning games. And the fact that the 49ers are 3-3, and, you were dancing. We were having fun yesterday. It was great to get that win against the Los Angeles Rams. But the fact of the matter is, you're celebrating – coming off a 13-3 season last year and, being 3-3 6 weeks into the season, it's more like, okay, look at the complete picture here of what we're talking about. Yeah. Nick Bosa going out. Jimmy Garoppolo missing games. This Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, Jimmy Garoppolo conversation that was having. Look at all the things that have already gone on within this 6 weeks. And then you're playing the best team that has been on your schedule to date, mm-hmm. and you were able to beat them. And there's like, okay. And now it's, you know, this game coming up on Sunday is so interesting because, you know, the Rams were feeling good about themselves. And you and I are both of, you know, the mindset that oftentimes if you're a good team, and you're a desperate team, and you're backed into the corner, you might perform a little bit better. You said that, you know, you didn't say it on Monday, certainly. You didn't really say it on Tuesday, but by the time we got to Wednesday, your tone started to shift with the San Francisco 49ers. And then we started to hear more from players, and we started to hear from the coaches. And you said, I think the first time you said it was on Friday, you said it again on game day with D'Lo and Casey on Sunday. You were like, this team is locked in. I feel like, you know, whatever has gone on the last couple of weeks against Miami and Philadelphia, they're zeroed in here on this game. And if the New England Patriots are going to be worth a damn this year, they've got to be zeroed in on this game against the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers have to be able to answer that, something that the Rams weren't able to do this past weekend.
Damien, you're 100% correct. After a couple of months, you can already read me like we're a married couple. You already know what's going on. My antennas are definitely up, and the 49ers' antennas should be up as well. A Patriots team that's coming off an embarrassing loss at home against Denver. I've, you know, stuck my head into what's going on in Boston and listened to some Boston radio in our sister station, WEEI, and it's chaos. You know, they got people questioning Belichick and saying that, you know, he could be looking at this situation as, you know, just saying that he don't have enough and making excuses, and this is the first time. They're going crazy, right? It's going to be a crazy week in Boston. That Patriots team, they're going to hear everything under the sun. Cam Newton is going to hear everything under the sun. Bill Belichick is going to hear everything under the sun. And they are going to come up, lathered up, and fired up on Sunday afternoon. And the Niners better be ready, because the Patriots are going to be ready to play. They are going to be ready to play on Sunday afternoon. And if the Niners aren't ready, they're feeling themselves a little too much after one win, they can get backhanded in Foxborough. That's just what could happen.
Yeah, they very well could. And you'll hear from Bill Belichick a little bit later today. you'll hear Belichick give perhaps some, you know, he gave a lot of praise to George Kittle. Perhaps gave a little unnecessary praise to George Kittle, and you'll hear what we mean as the show rolls along here. We're guest-free all day, so if you want to jump in, you certainly can. We'd love to hear from you, as always. 916-349-1320. Again, that's 916-349-1320. We're evergreen, available for you all day at D'Lo and KC on Twitter, as well as at ESPN1320. Same handles for Instagram if you want to jump in there. You look at this team, although the things that went right for the 49ers last year, so far in this 6 weeks, haven't. Like, if you just made a checklist of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, these six things went right for the San Francisco 49ers last year, you could make that same checklist and go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. None of those six things have gone right so far this year. Part of this, now, they certainly dealt with injuries last year, not like this. They had plays, you know, if this was 2019, C.J. Beathard's throwing a touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel at the end of that Philadelphia Eagles game.
If this is 2019, Jimmy Garoppolo's throwing a touchdown pass to
Even in an injury situation. Fair enough. Yeah, good point there that C.J. Beathard wouldn't even have been in the game if it had been 2019. But it fails, and it just goes to show, which is why the NFL – you know, because of the 16-game season is so much different than when we talk about 82 games and we talk about 164, and the World Series gets underway tonight, which you can hear exclusively on ESPN 1320. We'll talk about that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. But it's what makes this season so much more unique, is that every game, it's why, you know, it's a week-to-week league, and it's why we have the ability to have power rankings 3 weeks into the season. Right. You know what I mean? It's why, you know, 5 weeks into the season we go, yeah, that team's not for real. It's why, just tie in 2019 49ers again, the shortness of the season is what 8 weeks in got people to think, no, I still don't believe they're for real. Like, they're going to suck the last eight games, right? Like, they're 8-0 now, but they're certainly going to suck the rest of the way, right? Like, it's right. It's so unique in that sense, and it's why when you get hit by injuries, when one play doesn't go your way, or perhaps two plays don't go your way, or a call doesn't go your way, it changes. You could make an argument. We mentioned the C.J. Beathard pass to Deebo Samuel there, or it was really kind of a Hail Mary toss there at the end of the Philadelphia Eagles game. You go to, you know, I always point to the defense in the Arizona Cardinals game, but really you could go to a couple of offensive plays from Jimmy Garoppolo and that offense there and say, what, two, at the most, three plays away, the 49ers are 5-1.
That's facts. I mean, in that Arizona game, you had Deebo Samuel or Kendrick Bourne wide open in the back of the end zone. It was a bad throw, underthrew him, and that could have been a game-winning score right there.
And what are we talking about here if a potentially 5-1 San Francisco 49ers team are headed in to none of that, the bad breaks that we just talked about in terms of those two games have to do with injuries. They could still be going through the same injuries that they're going through. Mm-hmm. Those two plays, they're 5-1.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've struggled to figure out what this team is. I've struggled to figure out if they're good. I've struggled to figure out if they're timely. I've struggled to figure out if they're just good. They've just got a horrible, horrible string of luck going on right now. When I put that together this morning, I was like, this is a good football team. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are a good football team. And it was really eye-opening last week as we were talking about the 4 and 5 defenses going against each other, because I had been critical of the defense going back to that Arizona game and not making that stop when they needed to. And then it was kind of eye-opening, like, oh, wait a minute, that was like the last time that they didn't make a stop. Like, that was the last time they didn't do something that they should have. You've got turnovers the rest of the way with Nick Mullins and Jimmy Garoppolo, but this is a good football team, Casey. I just don't know how you continue to overcome injury after injury after injury after injury.
Yeah, the injuries after a while. I was listening to something, Reed, I can't remember, but especially on the defensive end, right? There's a belief, Bill Walsh had a belief, that offensively he can scheme, you know, points. He can scheme kind of putting a game the way he wants it to go. Like, you can make that happen with maybe, you know, a little less talent on the offensive end. You can do that. Defensively, he believed that's where you needed your playmakers. That's where you needed really good individual players to make the defense as dominant as you wanted it to be. And they've lost so much on the defensive end, all across the defensive line. You saw they lost so much against Miami, and I'm not saying it would have turned out differently, but they lost so much in the secondary against Miami. They had their third string cornerback and a guy off the practice squad come in, and you just see Mosley and Verrett come in and everything changes. You know what I'm saying? You need your guys on the defensive end, and they're going to have to figure that out. Offensively, even with Mostert going out, seems like they're getting guys back. They're starting to get a little bit of a rhythm. But, I mean, the injuries, like, look, nobody else can go down. I'm not saying, like, what else can happen. I'm saying, like, they can't afford to have anybody else go down and have any chance of a postseason berth this season, which I still believe they have. We'll talk about it later in the show. I really do think they do.
You heard him. We'll address that as to what their schedule looks like versus some other teams in the NFC that they're going to be competing with. We've got our power rankings coming up at the bottom of the hour. But what a disaster it was in Dallas, and that was bad news for San Francisco 49er fans. We'll explain as D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
You got some thoughts on the 49ers or anything jumping off in the sports world? 916-349-1320. We will get back to the 49ers here in just a heartbeat, including what their chances are with the remaining schedule to really make a playoff push. And, you know, their push for the playoffs got significantly more difficult last night as the NFC East continued to roll over all of their opponents. I mean, the Cardinals, I heard two names called over and over and over and over again last night. Ezekiel Elliott, because he kept coughing up the ball. And Buda Baker, because it seemed like he was destroying every single person in the Cowboys jersey over and over and over again, particularly that guy under center. Now, before we dive into this game, Kenny, give me like 3 seconds to just complain about something here.
Go ahead.
Can you imagine being the very obvious, it was an anonymous executive who very obviously worked for the Dallas Cowboys, and I would kiss your butt if his last name wasn't Jones. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you his last name was Jones. Actually went to a reporter and said, you know, if Andy Dalton performs well, what are we looking at next year? Maybe $20 million? Would it be shocking if Andy Dalton plays well? You could save $20-plus million by letting Dak Prescott go. Can you imagine the stupidity of that anonymous league executive who went to a reporter and almost certainly works for the Dallas Cowboys and put that out there into the universe before last night's game took place, and then to sit back and to be that anonymous executive and watch that display on Monday Night Football?
I mean, let this be a warning. And I feel like I say I'm not going to do this, and I do this every week. Let this be a warning to all 49er fans and your complaints about Jimmy Garoppolo and we can save money. This is a salary cap league and you're paying him $20 million and you can get the same production for $3 million. No, you can't. Your backup stinks. More times than not, your backup stinks. And anybody that you find on the street is going to stink too. So if you have somebody that's halfway competent, you pay him, you hold on to him, and you try to find a way to win with him in the system, in the scheme, on the roster. Andy Dalton was terrible last night. Absolutely horrible.
And that is who Andy Dalton is. Mm-hmm. That's who. Dak Prescott's leg is in two separate pieces right now, and his value went up last night.
Absolutely.
Dak Prescott is getting MVP votes after that performance because we knew headed into last night's game that they were a bad defensive team. We could have said before that awful injury to Dak Prescott, hey, KC, Cardinals are going to put up 38 points. Well, that's believable, but how many is Dallas Cowboys offense going to put up? Without Dak Prescott, they put up 10. There's another stat out there that's floating around the NFL universe today about how good Dak Prescott has been for this god-awful football team this year. Dak didn't play this week. Guess who the league leader in passing yards is?
Dak Prescott.
Exactly. That is how – imagine – I just can't – oh, man, sorry. I don't know why I get worked up with this team. I think it's because I hate Jerry Jones so much. I'm trying to envision, like, the meeting – where they sat down and it's Steven and it's Jerry and it's like, ha, 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 I got an idea. Let's bring in Mike McCarthy. Huh? That'll do it. Let's bring in Mike McCarthy. Jane Slater already tweeted this morning, this is how bad it is in Dallas. And oh, by the way, despite my 5-minute tirade here, Dallas Cowboys lead the NFC East.
Yeah, they're in first place. Go figure. I mean,
Jane Slater. Yeah. Cowboys players initially bought into keeping all things eternal. Now, as they sit 2-4, the disconnect is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another one, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs, end quote. Again, geez. That's from Jane Slater.
My goodness. Well, whoever, they ain't lying. I'll tell you that much. It's just, you know, I was watching this game last night, and I had the in-laws over, and, you know, I wanted to be a proper host, you know. So I actually kept the game on. I would have turned it off at 14-0, you know what I mean? But I kept the game on, and I watched. And, you know, I had a little running thing on Twitter, you know, where I was like, okay, we're going to play this game. Let's go ahead and count. Since everybody wants to count every single bad pass that Jimmy Garoppolo has, let me do that for Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray started off terrible. Like, he had bad throw after bad throw after bad throw. And I've to the point where I said, I'm going to stop this because I'll be here all night. He made a couple of throws. He had the long bomb and all this other stuff. But it just kind of showed me, like, you guys – we got to stop all this, man. Oh, he missed that throw to Juszczyk. It shows that you can't win with him. Like, stop, man. And in the same breath, you sitting up here talking about Kyler Murray's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Kyler can do some things with his legs, obviously. He does some really good stuff out there. But, like, I look at it like this, man. I'm not ever saying Jimmy Garoppolo is this, is Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, nothing like that. Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. And contrary to what people believe, and it's kind of hard to believe that this is actually the case, but good quarterbacks are hard to find in this league. There aren't a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL. There's not. What do you think, Damien? Are there 15 good quarterbacks in this league?
Sure, 15. It probably stops there. I think once you get into the second half, it's like, I've yet to be convinced, despite all of the stupid hype around this individual, that Gardner Minshew is any good. No one can convince me that Gardner Minshew is a good quarterback yet. Now, his play, and I understand touchdowns, and I understand what he did last year for an extremely horrible football team. You can't convince me that he's a good quarterback.
Right.
And I think once you get past, and it's always a challenge to, rank the top quarterbacks in the league. I'd have to go through team by team to figure this out. But you also have to look at certain situations. I admire how you took me, ranting and raving about the Dallas Cowboys and brought it back to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Everything comes back to Jimmy.
Here's what I'll say about Jimmy, and here's what I'll say about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is the perfect quarterback for what Cliff Kingsbury is trying to do. Mm-hmm. I think Kyler Murray is better as the Arizona Cardinals quarterback with this coach, this thing, than Jimmy Garoppolo would be. But that's the way that Cliff Kingsbury wants to play. And you mentioned what Kyler Murray can do with his legs. Jimmy Garoppolo can't do those things. And the entire game changes because of what Kyler Murray can do with his legs. You mentioned how bad he was in the pocket last night. He was 9 of 24. That's terrible. 188 yards. That's awful. But there are two things that he has. He's got his legs, and he's got DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And as long as he's got those two things, the Arizona Cardinals can win football games, and he recognized that. I think he had 70. I don't think. I have it here in front of me. He had 74 yards on the ground. He had a rushing touchdown to go with his two passing touchdowns. He made it work, and that works for Cliff Kingsbury and what they're trying to do.
And the other thing that he has that is going to sound like it's a diss on Jimmy, but it's really a diss on Kyle Shanahan. And I love Kyle Shanahan. But Kyler has the confidence of his coach. Kyler was throwing the ball all over the place in a bad way in that first quarter. And not once did you believe or did you think that Cliff Kingsbury was going to do that whole Kyle Shanahan, we can't let him throw down the field today. He doesn't have it. We're not going to let him lose this game, all this other stuff. No, he's like, you're the quarterback. Well, I'm going to throw more. I'm going to have more passing plays. I'm going to have more passes for you to throw the ball down the field, and we're going to get through this. And so many times, if Jimmy throws a near pick or is off with the throw or something like that, you see it. You see it in Kyle Shanahan's play calling, where it's, now we're just going to run, and we're only going to throw these little short three-yard passes because Jimmy doesn't have it today, and I'm not going to let him lose the game. You can't win that way. You can't, and I'm putting that on Kyle Shanahan. You can't, and this goes back kind of to last year, you can't baby somebody and coddle somebody, and then in the Super Bowl, when you're down by four and you need them to throw you into a victory, say, go win this game for me. It don't work that way. You have to be able to prepare them for in moments like this and in games like week 4 and 5. And maybe you lose one of those games. Maybe he throws a pick that costs you a game then. But you got to show the confidence that, hey, regardless of what's going on, if we got to pass this ball to win the game, I'm going to put it in your hands. You're the quarterback. Let's go do this and get those reps in. And too many times, I just hate that about Kyle. I hate that about how people say, yeah, well, now Kyle's going to put it out here where Jimmy can't lose the game for him. You're not going to ever win that way. Show some confidence.
Do you know who Arizona's backup quarterback is?
Let me guess. I think I have a feeling I know.
I don't think you do. Because I feel like if I say this person's name, you still won't know who it is.
Okay. I guess I don't know.
I will say Brent Hundley, who many people remember, I think, from Seattle.
He started in Green Bay.
Okay.
He might have gone to Seattle. But, yes, okay. I don't want to say I was thinking Hundley, but I wanted to say Cardale Jones. I knew it wasn't him. I knew it wasn't Geno Smith. I knew it was a black quarterback. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So there,
let's put it that way. I just couldn't remember which one it was.
on the, at least on the depth chart, he's the third string quarterback.
Oh, that's crazy.
Chris Trevler.
Excuse me?
Yeah. You want to know why Kyler Murray is safe? That's why Kyler Murray is safe. Jeez. That's why Kyler Murray can continue to throw the ball down the field when he's going to wind up, what was it, 9 of 24 last night or whatever it was.
Man. Yeah, I ain't never heard of Chris Scraggler. What's his name?
Let's go with it. Let's go with it. Streveler. Chris Streveler. I'm guessing he doesn't have legs like Kyler Murray either. No. And yet, and of course, they were down by a lot. So, you know, take this for what you will. Ezekiel Elliott put them in this position. Andy Dalton threw the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, that I couldn't even pathetic. I couldn't get it out without laughing. Andy Dalton threw the ball 54 times last night.
Come on, man. Come on. And, like, I know the numbers won't bear it out.
Even Marvin Lewis is looking at it like, dude, what? What are you doing?
and I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but it felt like he was 11 for 54 from passing last night. Like, he was terrible.
He was 34 of 54.
Oh, my gosh.
We were close. 266 yards, one touchdown, two interception. He was sacked three times, which I would have guessed it was a lot more. I felt like Buda Baker sacked him three times by himself.
Yeah.
But it came down to turnovers. Andy Dalton had two of them. Ezekiel Elliott had two of them. The Arizona Cardinals, as they have done all year, were able to capitalize off of those. And the Cowboys now, they are minus 12 in turnover differential. Ugh. And have given up 74 points off of turnovers this season.
Oh, my goodness. I will say this about Andy Dalton and one of his two picks. That one pick was... Did you see the one where CeeDee Lamb just got, like, pushed to the ground?
Yeah.
15 yards down the field. Look, one of these days, because I don't really like doing this. I really don't like doing this because I'm not really a referee, umpire, basher type of guy. But the incompetence of NFL referees is just astonishing. It's Dude. Astonishing. They are unbelievably bad at what they do and just kind of, like, lost. Completely lost.
Speaking of... I was watching the 49ers game again this morning. Mm. Can someone explain that fumble review to me?
No, we can't.
Okay, was it Mostert? Who was like?
It was McKinnon.
Was it McKinnon? Who was flat fumbled. On his back? Yeah. He's like laying on the ground, tosses the ball to the ground. The Rams pick it up and run with it. And it's like, oh, this play is under review. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Why exactly is this play under review? And the great part is they could, like, they go to commercial, they come back, the referee announces again that the play is under review, and it took like 5 minutes to determine that he was lying flat on his back, tossed the ball to his side, and that does not constitute a fumble in the NFL.
They initially just ruled it a fumble. Like, that was the call. They went to commercial, came back. Yeah, Rams ball on the 10-yard line. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go review this. First of all, what? What do you mean Rams ball in the 10? What are you watching? And then they had a whole commercial break, and they're talking about nothing, just picking their noses for about 2.5 minutes. And then they come, oh, let's review it. And then they take another 20 minutes to see. The man obviously got hit in the helmet. You see it the first time you watch it.
He got touched twice. That's the wild part. Like, he got touched twice.
Man. These guys are incompetent. And I hate to say that about people, and I know refereeing and stuff is a harder job than they make it look, but they make some of the just basic stuff so hard, so hard. It's ridiculous.
They probably all graduated from UCLA. Jeez,
wow,
how about that?
Shots at the Bruins.
What? No, not just a small one for a friend that's listening. How about the Chiefs? Big win over the Bills last night. That was a lot of ground game. Mm-hmm. For the Kansas City Chiefs. Still no Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell hasn't cleared COVID protocol yet. Mm-hmm. But, man, I think I have a note here. Let me find it. Yes, that was the most. I don't know why I'm laughing at all of these stats today. They're funny to me. Think of how long Andy Reid's career has been.
Forever.
It's like that was the most designed runs in an Andy Reid football game.
That's crazy. They ran the ball often.
46 times. 46 times.
Oddly enough, we talked about this before the show off the air, but it didn't necessarily work because Josh Allen was so terrible, and the Bills offense couldn't get nothing going. I think that's the way you play the Chiefs. You take away everything deep, all their deep balls, all the Tyreek Hill stuff. You force them to run. Yes, they're going to get yards. Yes, they're going to be able to move the ball, but that's the way you stay in the game with them. I think the Bills had a good game plan. They're just not good enough to execute it.
I thought the Bills played it. You know, I don't think it's that. I think they executed it. I just think Josh Allen didn't play well yesterday.
Yeah, well, as a team, so, offensively, they couldn't bring that component to it.
You know, maybe I know Rich is listening, and I'm sure if we haven't checked at D'Lo and Casey in the last 5 minutes, he's probably tweeted 10 things about the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Maybe the Chiefs defense is all right.
Maybe.
Not willing to concede.
I mean, they got
I'm
blasted by the Raiders 2 weeks ago, so at home, and they played a Bills team in the rain where Josh Allen was just, he was god awful. I watched the game. So, I mean, Chiefs defense gets a little credit for that, but like
maybe
I said,
it
just got
call.
Blasted 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, all right. Well, they didn't get blasted this week. 21 of 26 for Patrick Mahomes, 225 yards, 2 touchdowns, but it was the run game that did it. 46 carries for their variety of backs, including Edwards-Helaire, the H is silent. 161 yards on 26 carries. You think they don't? You don't? You think he doesn't know who they just picked up last week?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Y'all want Le'Veon Bell? Okay. All right. Go ahead. Go on and get Le'Veon Bell. Hey, you ready? You want to keep dancing?
They say this is a big rich town. I just come from the poorest part.
Yeah. This is normally where I gotta make it. You put out this just like terrible list of teams in the NFL that don't really make any sense, but I'm actually really curious to hear your power rankings this week because you went ham on the Green Bay Packers yesterday you were as that game was taking place over the weekend. So I want to defer to you. If I got the coin flip, I want to defer because I'm really anxious to hear your power rankings.
Okay, no problem. Just to get it all off the rip, we'll get this out of the way. The Packers are out of my top 5 power rankings. They went from number 1 to not mentioned at all. So they're gone. All right. Number 5. Same number 5 as last week. I got the Baltimore Ravens. They didn't do anything to hurt their case after taking care of business against the Eagles. I know a game got close or whatever, but they were dominating that game for the most part. They're still number 5. Number 4, and this may be a little unfair to them, I understand, but I'm going to leave the Titans at 4. They had a big week, one on Tuesday, one on Sunday. They look great. It's not a knock on them at all. They were number 4 last week in my power rankings. They'll be there again this week. And the game they have in week 7 is going to be a big one because they're going up against the number 3 team making their debut in KC's power rankings. The Pittsburgh Steelers are number 3. And you can make the argument. You can make the argument right here and right now that the winner of the number 3 versus the number 4 team, Steelers versus the Titans, they could be next week's number 1 in KC's power rankings.
Okay.
So you got the Steelers at 3. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs still at number 2. They won a big game in Buffalo, took care of business. They're the number 2 team. And the number 1 team in KC's power rankings, the Seattle Seahawks.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're
look at you. Look, this is worth a second. Hey,
I'm not singing to this. I'm not
What's
singing
up,
to this.
What's up, Tyreek? Hey, come on, man. I like that. Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah. They're number one. Let's move on from the only thing that matters in my power ranks is man. 2 versus 5. You know what I'm saying? Two to five. No need to
what
worry about number one.
What a week it's been. Cube, 50 Cent. And now Kenny Caraway, they've all had changes of heart. Different types of changes of heart.
Don't put me in their group. I don't need to be in their group.
So I got an idea. Let's get my power rankings here real quick. Number 5, I still have the Baltimore Ravens, and that was tough. It was 5, 4, and 3 are so close.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you made an argument to shuffle these 3 around, I don't think there's a wrong argument for it. As a matter of fact, if I said these aren't even my top 5 power rankings, these are my top 3, and these 3 teams are all tied for 3rd, it's Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I debuted the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4.
Okay.
And then I've got Tennessee at 3.
Okay. That's fair enough. Absolutely.
I kept Kansas City at 2, and I left Seattle at number 1. I'm not going to get peer pressured into taking the Seattle Seahawks out of number 1 like I was back in week 4, where I flip-flopped Seattle and Kansas City, which was a ridiculous thing to do, as Seattle should have remained atop my prestigious power
They're
rankings.
There by default. Let's just call it what it is. They're there by default.
If we're going, you know, I don't know how we go college style, but they didn't lose.
Their strength of schedule is trash. If we're going college style. I'm trying to think here. Have they beat a team with a winning record? I don't think so. Don't think so. Atlanta, Dallas, New England, Miami, Minnesota. Strength of schedule is trash. But they're my number one, too. Whatever. I mean, yeah, whatever, like, Seattle.
So let's. I think we should make this a little bit more difficult. Because look at what we just said. Look at what we just said. Kansas City, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. Those are 4 AFC teams.
Yeah, and let me say this. I trashed the AFC going into the season. They look loaded. AFC looks loaded, man, this year. I absolutely trashed them. And dare I say, to your what you just kind of pointed out to me, they're probably better than the NFC right now as a conference.
I don't know how you would argue it, because if we just named who we think are the top 5 teams in the NFL, you begrudgingly put Seattle at number 1. But even if you didn't want to put Seattle at number 1, you're probably not going to put them below 5.
No.
I don't know where the next NFC team comes into play here.
You may start at six.
Maybe Green Bay. Well, not free. I don't know where you're going to put Green Bay. You're going to put Green Bay next to the Jets and Giants the way you were talking about them this weekend. But I think we should do power rankings, but just the NFC.
I'm with that. I'm with that. I mean, we are the home of the 49ers, and at the end of the day, the NFC is what matters here on ESPN 1320. Not that the other conference doesn't matter, but we focus on the NFC and what the Niners got in front of them. So I'm with that. I'm with that.
Okay. You want to put the 49ers in like at 3-3 over everybody with a bit of are they number 5? Like, are they ascending? Are they?
They're not number five, okay, but they are ascending.
Okay.
They are ascending.
Fair enough. Number 5 then. Who would you put at number 5? On your NFC only, because we know who number 1 is. Number 1's not changing. Number one is Seattle. Who would be number 5 on
number
the NFC
five
only
for
power
me
rankings?
On the NFC only power rankings, that would be the Los Angeles Rams. They still got them hanging on at number 5.
Interesting. Let's go to Ramsey here real quick. 916-349-1320, because I'm so curious what you really think of the Green Bay Packers. Again, 916-349-1320. Ramsey, what's going on, baby?
Do me a favor. Cue up the Birdman.
Hold on. Let me make sure I still got it. Hang on. Here it is.
Put some respect on my name.
There it is.
You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on.
You understand me?
What you got, Ramsey?
Ain't nobody putting respect on the Chicago Bears' name.
Hell no, we're not putting no respect on the Chicago Bears' name. Are you crazy?
When they've held 4 teams under 20 points, they're 5-1, best team in their division right now, and probably one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the NFC.
Let's relax.
I don't think he's wrong there. He said
both
one
of you
top,
guys relax.
He said one of the top 3 teams in the NFC, and I don't think that he's wrong. Ramsey, that was a good transition, Ramsey. You're a radio pro. Thank you, my man. We appreciate you. Good hearing from you. I've never seen Ramsey and John from Twitter in the same place at the same time. Just going to throw that out there. We'll give you the rest of our NFC only power rankings as we do each Tuesday. Plus, we're going to have to take these power rankings and figure out what it means for the 49ers. Not just right now, but more specifically speaking about them moving forward. Plus, the World Series gets underway tonight. You can hear that on ESPN 1320. We'll give you our preview of that as D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
We have a developing situation here. We'd like to bring your attention as it pertains to attending sports in the area. Gavin Newsom, the San Francisco 49ers, they've recently put out statements, and we've basically the gist of everything is Bay Area sports teams are now allowed to welcome back fans. Now, this applies to
Say one more time for his name, and you cut out for a second.
Bay Area sports teams are allowed to welcome back fans at 20% capacity. This is from Gavin Newsom in the state of California. This applies both to Levi's Stadium and Shea Center. And here's a unique note, and this requires more diving into, but fans attending would have to live within 120 miles. So that's I want to point this out. That doesn't mean that I don't think the 49ers play at home this weekend. No, they're in New England. Yeah, they've got Gillette
for 2 weeks.
So we could be looking at what would be talking about them. But November? 5th,
the Packers game on Thursday night.
There's a possibility. Now, the San Francisco 49ers did just issue a statement. It did not say anything about, we're opening up. Hey, fans, let's go. It said something more along the lines of, we're going to continue to work with the state. We're going to continue to work with the county. I'm surprised by this because what's worth noting is, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm sorry, like I'm literally trying to think on the air, the only games in which Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth have worn masks are the one in Santa Clara. And they made it clear their first week. I didn't pay attention to it this week, but I remember their first week. They made it clear this is what we were advised to do by the health officials of Santa Clara. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to abide by their health rules. So I'm a bit surprised by this, given that.
Yeah, I'm you know reacting to this as you are, and I was surprised. It was ironically, because I saw, you know, Dallas last night and for the last few weeks or whatever, and I was thinking about the Niners, and I was like, well, aside from the Cowboys game, the Niners, you know, other teams are playing with fans and stuff like that, and I thought the Niners might, there was a real scenario where they might not play in front of any fans all year, you know, aside from that Dallas game, because you had games like Seattle, they're not opening up, at least for as far as I know, you know, the Rams are here, Arizona, who knows what's going on there. I know it's the Saints are looking to move from the Superdome and do all this stuff. So I was like, well, man, maybe they won't play in front of any fans at all year long. And sure enough, Gavin Newsom kind of opens the door. The thing that really caught me is the Chase Center thing.
Yeah, because it's indoors.
Yeah, so, I didn't see that coming at all.
But let's also make sure we understand. By the way, I thought Arizona, I'm surprised. Like, Arizona is in full DGAF mode, just like right. Florida is. So I'm surprised that the Cardinals haven't jumped on board. But let's also, like, this is Gavin Newsom's, like, this is his proclamation for the state. So this is San Francisco, this is the Rams, this is the Chargers, this is down in Los Angeles. Hell, this is the Golden One Center. If there were a reason to be an event to be at the Golden One Center, this includes that as well. But what but Gavin Newsom's order doesn't blanket over what Santa Clara officials say,
right?
Or what San Francisco officials say, or what Mayor Daryl Steinberg and Sacramento County officials say. Yeah. So I'd imagine they'd line up in some sort of way, because I think it would be awfully weird if they didn't. But I'd imagine they'll line up in some sort of way. Like, but the 49ers, they haven't been cleared or haven't been given clearance to open things up at Levi's Stadium. They've got to work with Santa Clara now. But now, with Gavin Newsom having given that clearance, they can work with the county. So while the county can say, thanks, Gavin Newsom, but no, the county can't go, the hell with what Gavin Newsom says, let's open the stadium. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that.
And so I could be wrong, but I feel like Santa Clara might be amongst the most or the most strict when it's come to this protocol in the entire country. Like, they ain't been messing around from the start, you know, and Mayor Breed and in San Francisco as well. Like, they've been strict from jump. So, you know, like you said, just because Gavin Newsom has opened that window doesn't mean that the officials in Santa Clara are going to be the first to jump through that window. You know what I mean?
Got to keep those tech companies functioning. I haven't been to Chase Center too. That's one I didn't get there in time. That's one I'd like to see.
Yeah, Chase Center.
You been there?
Yeah, I've been there. It's really not. Look, I'll put it to you like this. If somebody paid $1 billion for something, it's going to be nice, right? Like, uh-huh. It's going to look nice. It's going to be nice and new. It's going to be great, right? That doesn't mean it has any type of soul or anything just yet. Mm. And I don't see where the soul comes from, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It was just like a big hotel lobby.
Huh. Okay.
I wasn't impressed. It's not Golden One Center. I'll tell you that.
Needs a big colorful piece of art outside, which you don't know exactly what it is, or a weird name like Doko. Then it would be proper.
Right. Right. Plus, I mean, the hangar doors are pretty
legit.
Damn cool.
Yeah,
they're pretty damn cool. And when you can, if they can ever play games in like April and May in Sacramento, to have those open and then the things that you could have going on outside is a game changer. It's pretty cool.
The thing that always hits me with Golden One, and even though it's stuff that I don't, for the most part, eat, the smell. Like, the food in there is like A1, man. And you walk in and you're down there and it just like hits you. It's like, oh, man. I'm literally hungry for everything. Like, that's what this sensation is. Like, I'm hungry for everything.
Yeah. Nah, they killed it with the food, the farm to fork. Farm to fork, I'm happy about that. But, you know, I'm always bitter that they took that sign off the water thing down on I-5 where it's supposed to be, City of Trees, and they put America's Farm to Fork. No. Leave it a City of Trees, all right? But
why?
The Farm to Fork thing.
Why?
Because it's the City of Trees. That's what I grew up with.
Don't get all stern with me because I'm asking a question. Like, your voice don't change as if you were scolding Reese here a minute. Hang on. Hang on, man. I'm just asking a question.
It's a sensitive topic for those in South Sacramento.
I see
it's
that.
It's a South Sacramento thing, and we love our City of Trees, water tower thing. We loved that. We loved it. I have a shirt that's like on my Twitter or Instagram, City of Trees. We don't want that farm to fork. It's sensitive for us South Sac people.
Get a new shirt. What's the big deal?
No, we made a shirt after they changed it to Farm to Fork. No. It's not Farm to Fork. It's City of Trees.
Who's we? Like you and the fam?
Whoever made that shirt, I don't know. Oh, okay. But the people have been loving the shirt. I'm gonna post it on the Twitter. No, I'm gonna post it on the Twitter. Everybody know what time it is, man.
City we made Trees. This shirt too. Me and Ralph Lauren, we put it together. Like, I don't know. 9-1-6.
Look at that flex. Look at that flex.
Oh,
me
oh,
and
that
Ralph
was a lie.
Lauren.
No, I was a lie. I don't know what this is. It was the first designer that came to my head. Like I said, me and Diddy made this. I have no idea. This is probably Target. Like Kirkland. This is a Kirkland shirt I'm wearing.
Shout out to Kirkland, man. They do what they do, man. For real. But yeah, man, Golden One Center is awesome. I also love the open, like when you walk through the front and the openness. Like Chase Center doesn't have that. Chase Center there's a wall around the seats, like, so you can't get that. You walk, like I say, you walk into Chase Center and you walk into a hotel lobby.
Just give me the Rail Yard Stadium. Let's just get that thing up and moving.
Let's go.
916-349-1320. I think Philly Foothills is here. Philly's been trying to get through the last couple of days, man. We appreciate
you so much.
Philly
is where I am from.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, daily listener. I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys are doing a great job and keep up the good work.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm obviously a big Eagles fan, diehard. I wanted to get your guys' opinion on what's the record going to be to win the NFC East this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
You want to talk about stumping the host? I don't know.
Man.
It could go from anywhere from 4 wins to 7 to, like, to 8. I don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, how do you say a bad record where you go, like, no, I'm being serious? And, like, it's going to border on, like, I'm being serious to, like, that's just outrageous. 7-9 we've seen before.
Yeah.
Is 6-10, possible?
I was just about to say, I think I'm landing on 6-10, man. It may be like a 6-9 situation for
the Eagles.
Eagles
have a tie, so the Eagles could win it with 6-9-1.
Yeah, I think six wins
might
do it.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think six wins might be it because the Cowboys are horrible with Dalton under center. The Giants and the Redskins, they're hopeless. The Eagles, I might go up to 7 or 8 if they were healthy, but they're not healthy, and they're not going to be healthy for no weeks to come. So,
right, and Carson Wentz is running for his life back there. I mean, he's got no protection up front.
Yeah,
it might
running
be six,
for his
Philly.
Life.
Philly, Damien, it might be six.
Yeah, it really
it
will.
Might
that's
be
it.
Six.
It's
that's
gonna
it.
Be that, six, that. Guys. Watch, it's gonna be six.
Hey, Philly, thanks for the kind words, man. I know you've been trying to get through the last couple of days. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
That's a great point he makes too, because I keep forgetting they got that tie. That tie is going to be the reason the Philadelphia Eagles win this division,
bro. That's crazy, man.
And you know what the shame is, I personally would get a kick out of seeing a team in the NFL with double digit losses winning the division, because we've never seen it before. Would double digit losses in the NFL be the thing that goes, you know what? We've got to change this playoff format. Like, this ain't
you would
work
think
anymore.
It would. I think they'd stay with it. They'd be like, oh, we're the charm of, you know, having that home game and the divisions matter and all this other stuff. I was talking to, you know, our guy Matthew, who's always tweeting us, and he was, you know, he's a Philly fan, and he was laughing at the situation. And I'm like, it's crazy, because no matter what happens from week to week, you're never out of it. If you're an Eagles fan, a football team fan, the Giants in second place?
Giants are, I mean, they're 1-5, so, like, no. But I've got another question. We've been doing the show. This is our 47th episode.
Let's go.
Every day, right around 1 o'clock, something at your house beeps. And I'm what is it at your house that seems to beep every day, like, around 1 o'clock?
Well, it's certainly outside. Day is on Friday. We have gone crazy with, like, Amazon, Wayfair. Like, wifey is just addicted to online shopping. So typically, I don't know if it's every day, but a lot of the days, FedEx comes, UPS comes, or drops something off. I didn't think it was around one, but maybe it is.
I feel like it's every day. Like, I don't even know if people can hear it, but I can hear it now. Like, man, I feel like, is it like a school alarm, like inside your house going off saying, hey,
no,
like,
I hear, I know what you're talking about. It's definitely outside. And I think it's a truck, like a FedEx truck.
It definitely sounds like a
truck. I don't know
if
something came today, but we probably had a stretch, to your point, of like 17 straight days where something got hit, whether it's, you know, our Bartesian pods or a couch or something. Like,
what was the first thing?
The Bartesian. You don't know about the Bartesian?
Okay.
Oh, it's lit. It's lit. When you come to the crib, Damien, the Bartesian going to keep it lit, bro. Hey, the Bartesian's where it at, bro.
She is Kenny Caraway. I am Damian Barling. We're thrilled that you're here with us. 916-349-1320. Safe to say that no one from the NFC least is going to crack our top five. But you mentioned before the break, as we give our NFC only, our NFC only power rankings, you had the Los Angeles Rams at number five. Mm-hmm. I have the Green Bay Packers at number five. I'm not as down on them as you are. I'm not going to write them off because of one loss. But I feel like the Packers didn't crack your top five. Am I wrong?
You are wrong.
Okay.
You are wrong. I'll go to number four here. We'll just go back and forth here. I'll go to number four. And I got the New Orleans Saints at number four in the NFC.
Aha. I went with the Arizona Cardinals at number four. Are you just mad because that's an NFC West
GIF? Okay.
Old Nation of Domination gift. I went with the Arizona Cardinals. Okay. They've got
number four. Not even number five, huh? Number four.
Number four.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this, Damien. Losses are coming in Arizona.
Okay. You keep saying
if you look at
that.
The schedule.
Okay.
Right. No. Because remember, I actually said they were going to start 5-0. Because I saw they had a nice little stretch of schedule. Mm-hmm. They're going to rack up some wins. They're not scrubs as a team. So I was like, look, they're gonna win. But the losses are coming.
Well, I mean,
the losses are coming.
They got the Seahawks this week in prime time, so we'll find out. Yeah. Okay. Oh no, not prime time. No. Sorry, their prime time game against Seattle is number. They've got Seattle this week, but the prime time one is next month.
Yeah, the losses are coming. But you got them at four. Number three, I got your Green Bay Packers, man.
This is a tough schedule ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. For right now, the Arizona Cardinals are at number four. I just looked at their next four games, Seattle, Miami, Buffalo, Seattle. Go further than that, New England, Los Angeles, but sorry, go ahead.
It's getting bleak, man. And look, I think they're a 7-9, 8-18, and I think that's where they'll end up. And that's good for them. That's good progression for in the big picture, where they, you know, were last year. I think they were 4-12 or 5-11 last year, whatever, to get to 8-8. That's good for their progression. They'll be lined up for the next year. It's what it is. They're just not there yet. Okay. But, yeah, I got your Green Bay Packers at number three.
Okay. I'm surprised by that. I went with the Chicago Bears at number three. Oh, I don't like it.
John, please get off of this line. Bring Damian back. Get John off this Zoom. Bring Damian back. You know what I mean? The Bears are number three. The Bears are number three.
I'm sorry. Is my mic not working again? Is my internet cut off? Yeah, the Bears are number three. The Bears are leading their division. They're above the Green Bay Packers. They're 5-1. Like, come on, man. They're number three.
The Bears, with all due respect, may be the worst 5-1 team I've ever seen in my life.
I have never heard you say the word respect and then something not horrible follow it. Like, every time, 47 shows in, you have always used the word respect as a lead-in to say something terrible about a team or a particular player. They're 5-1. Like, now, their point differential isn't all that stellar, but that doesn't matter. The fact is, they're 5-1.
I got a buddy of mine who's a Bears fan, not John, another buddy of mine. And I was telling him, we were talking last night about the playoffs and NFC and all this stuff. I was like, I don't know, man. I feel like you have to put the Bears in there. You know, they got 5 wins already. Like, you have to put them in there as making the playoffs. And he says, we're not making the playoffs. Do you see our schedule coming up? Like, we're about to get railroaded. Like, it's about to get ugly.
Bears fans know, like, the Bears fans can't enjoy anything. They've got the Rams coming up. They got the Saints coming up. They've got the Titans coming up. The Vikings game is certainly interesting, and then they'll have their first matchup against the Packers on November 29th. Now, keep some of these schedules in the back of your mind, because they're going to come back into play here in just a second. I had Chicago at 3. Who did you have at 3?
The Packers.
Oh, okay. Number 2. So I think we have the same team at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, man.
I got to be honest. I don't like that I did that. I'm not pleased with myself over this.
You should see how I scribbled it on the paper, because it's almost as aggressively as I scribbled Seahawks at number one. But I was like, oh, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whatever. No.
I know what they did to the Packers. By the way, the Bears beat the Bucks. I just want to point that out for both of.
Okay.
You didn't even put the Bears in the top 5?
No.
You said Green Bay were fraudulent, and so they're not better than Green Bay?
You know how I do these things, right? If the Bears played any 5 of these teams, you think they'd beat them?
They did. They beat the Bucks.
Good point. But besides
your system is flawed. The BKCS system is flawed.
Besides that obvious point that you just made, okay? Look, if they played the Bucks again, I think the Bucks would go to work on them.
Okay. The Bucks coming up, they've got the Raiders. They've got the Giants. Then the Saints after that. The Panthers. The Panthers, I just can't.
They weak. They're weak. There's nothing to think about.
I don't think they're weak. I think they're searching.
They're not scrub level, but they're not good.
Boy, the
Bucks will beat them.
I think if Christian McCaffrey's here, we could be talking about are they 3-3
still? They're 2-3. Are they 3-3? No,
they're 3-3, but let me double check that out. But we're bringing these schedules up for a reason, and obviously we both had Seattle as our number one team.
No, I didn't get a chance to say it. The number one team in the NFC, Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I'll say it a little bit more loudly. Yeah, the Panthers are 3-3. So we bring this all to your attention because now we start to look ahead to the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's it appears to be a strong likelihood that they're going to be without Raheem Mostert at least for the foreseeable future, meaning short-term IR, which is 3 weeks, dealing with a high ankle sprain, which I think, Jimmy, I feel like there's one more. This is the third high ankle sprain, I think, in the last few weeks. And then Ben Garland, the calf strain, if that sounds familiar, that's what Richard Sherman's going through. He's headed to IR as well. So
I think Tevin Coleman had a high ankle sprain.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was
I feel like he had an MCL. I don't know, but there's been so many injuries, I can't freaking keep track of them.
I'm a doctor
anymore.
Now after following the Niners. I'm a doctor. I know every injury on every body part.
And that's fair enough. But as we start to look at the playoff picture, and we'll remind everybody, there's an extra playoff spot this year. But you know what I was thinking about earlier today, too, and I'll just throw that. There's going to be 17 games next year in the NFL season. I don't know why. I just wanted to remind everybody of that. I don't think the NFL has said anything because they're honestly, they're just trying to get through this year. Yeah. But there's going to be 17 games in the NFL regular season.
That's
next
crazy.
Year.
And I think they're going to go to 8 playoff teams eventually.
And maybe they will, but this year they have 7. So where can the San Francisco 49ers fit into all of this? As we just went over, you know, the power rankings, if you will, in the NFC, and we went over some of the schedules ahead for some of these teams. Where do the 49ers fit? Like, it's a bit far-fetched to think they're going to be a divisional winner. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's very fair.
So you've got, you know, you whether we like it or not, someone is going to be in from the NFC East, and then you've got potentially Chicago or Green Bay, or Chicago and Green Bay. You got Tampa and New Orleans, or Tampa and New Orleans, or maybe it's Tampa and Carolina, or maybe it's New Orleans and Carolina. There could be two teams coming from there. There could be two teams coming from the NFC West. I don't know where the 49ers fit into this.
I look at the situation here. They're 3-3, 500. And it's almost like you're saying they're 0-0, and there's 10 games left. So you got to ask your question and ask yourself this question. In the next 10 games, can the 49ers go 7-3? Can the 49ers go 6-4? 6-4 gets them at 9-7 on the season. I think 9-7 is a playoff-like record. That's something that you can get in with, especially with the extra team. Remember, we talked about it numerous times. Last year, the Rams get in at 9-7 if they have 7 playoff teams. 7-3 puts you at 10-6. You're definitely in at that point. I think both are on the table. I really do. I think both are on the table. Consider if hopefully they don't suffer more injuries and some of these guys like a Mostert comes back or a Richard Sherman comes back. That's a little bit – I'm starting to feel like that's kind of in the D Ford category where, like, I'm not expecting D Ford back. I'm right. not. I don't think we see him at all. And I'm not there with Richard Sherman yet, but I'm getting closer towards that side, right? But assuming that, you know, some of these guys that are supposed to come back, Jordan Reed, somebody like that, I think 7-3 is on the table. Like, I think, and I say that only because I don't think the NFC has a great team in it. All the teams in the NFC have flaws.
I don't
see it.
And
have gaping holes.
I don't see it. First of all, the 49ers have had so many injuries, I've started to forget about some of them. You mentioned Jordan Reed, and it was like, oh, yeah, Jordan Reed. He was good while he was out there. He got hurt.
Right.
Let's just look at this. And I hate the game of going over a schedule, like, and going with a fine-tooth comb and all of that.
That's what we do, baby. That's what we do.
So you got the Patriots coming up this week. Mm-hmm. Let's give them that one. Generously. I think they're going to have a fight. I'm not even confident in saying that. But let's give it to them. 2 wins in a row for the San Francisco 49ers. They're 4-3. Mm-hmm. They've got Seattle after that. I know how you feel about Seattle, but that's a tough game. They've got Seattle after that. Mm-hmm. Then they've got the Packers. They humiliated the Packers twice last year.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be able to do it again? Think about it for a second. They've got the Saints after that. They've got the Rams again. And didn't they beat the Rams both times last year, too?
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on that again.
So three in a row in the Rams.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on making it 4 in a row.
The Bills, your Buffalo Bills are after that.
Bills looking a little sus. They're looking a little sus right now.
This is your Buffalo Bills that are looking a little suspect.
A little sus. Defense is not what I thought it was going to be.
Good news, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You probably got a combined 1,000 points scored in those two games, and you'd be feeling pretty good about yourself. Then you'll have the second matchups against the Cardinals a couple of days after Christmas and the Seattle Seahawks to wrap up the season. 7-3, dude, I don't see it.
So real quick, I'm going to go down the list. Patriots will say win. Seattle is a loss. Green Bay at home is a win. I'll go New Orleans a loss. That's 2. The Rams is a loss. Buffalo's a win. Washington's a win. Dallas is a win. I think they beat Arizona. And it may come down to that Seattle game.
I think they do wind up beating Arizona, and I think they may get 3 in a row there with Washington and Dallas and Arizona.
So of let's course, just now after what I did, let's just say all those Seattle's a loss to end the season.
Hold that thought. We've got to step out. We got to come back, and let's also remind everybody. This is why I hate doing this. We're trying to judge a team by the way they're playing now. I don't expect Washington to be good in December. But maybe they're doing something. Maybe they just fall into a win. The Dallas Cowboys. I don't expect them to be good at the end of the year, but maybe they've gone to their third string quarterback at this time. But I'll let you explain that further, and we'll step out. We'll come back. Plus, you got to hear what Bill Belichick said about George Kittle. This remark has some layers. We've got that for you next as D'Lo and Casey continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey continues on ESPN 1320.
Kolsky coming up here at 2 o'clock. You want to connect with us, you can. 916-349-1320 at D'Lo and KC on Twitter as well. Please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. You were saying something about Seattle. You've got the 49ers winning all sorts of games.
Thank you for listening to me, partner. I appreciate that. You were saying something. I don't know what you were saying.
Well, I had to cut you off because we had to step out. We had gone from Washington to Dallas to Arizona. The 49ers could potentially win three games in a row. And I said I hate trying to predict what teams are going to do here, 2 months from now. But they're going to be headed into that last game against Seattle, and I think that's where you had something.
You're 100% right. So just to rehash real quick, I said, can the Niners get to 7-3, 10 games left? 7-3, 6-4. 7-3 will put them at 10-6. 6-4 will put them at 9-7. I went down the list. You got New England. We gave them the win.
That's a tough one.
We'll give them the win on Sunday. I have them losing at Seattle. They're 1-1. Winning Green Bay on a short week at home. I got them losing at New Orleans. That's the second loss. I got them losing at the Rams. That's the third loss. And then I got them beating Buffalo, Washington, Dallas, Arizona in the last game of the season against Seattle. Just for argument's sake, I say they lose. That puts them at 9-7. 9-7 should get you in the playoffs.
So I guess that brings up, the other question is we don't have to worry about two teams getting in the NFC East, so we'll leave that alone. But I know you don't like Chicago, so you've got Chicago falling off enough to where we're just talking about Green Bay here.
I got Chicago in.
Okay.
I have Chicago in.
So we've got, let's go Philadelphia because of the tie. Philadelphia wins the division. Green Bay, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay and New Orleans?
Yep.
Okay, let's go Seattle. And then so it's San Francisco over the Rams and over the Cardinals.
That's what it's going to come down to. To be honest with you, I know you talked about Carolina. I would throw Detroit in that mix of teams looking to make a move on that final spot.
You said that privately yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell you about yourself. So
you said Carolina.
I like Carolina
better than Carolina.
No, they're not. Get out of here.
Look, I'm looking at the standings. For some reason, I thought Detroit was 3-2. They're actually 2-3. So that kind of matters. All right. So look, throw Detroit out of here. For the last spot, it's going to be between the Niners. I think Niners and Rams, but just for the sake of argument, let's throw the Cardinals in there.
I was going to say, the last spot's probably going to come down to the NFC West. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, just leave it at that. We could potentially be talking about three teams coming in from this conference.
Yeah.
Or from this division, excuse me.
Yeah. That's, well, so, 9-7, I don't think it guarantees you a spot. Some people think it does.
Pretty damn close. Yeah. Pretty close.
But 9-7, four losses. I'm not asking them to go 8-2. I'm not asking him to go undefeated in the next 10. 6-4 in your final 10 gets you to 9-7.
But they're 3-3 now, and I think that's like the difficult part where you look at it like, maybe this is all for nothing, and maybe they're a 500 team, and 8-8 gets you in.
Maybe.
It's not impossible.
That's the whole point of the exercise. Like 3-3 is 0-0, essentially, right? You got 10 games. Can you go 6-4 in 10 games?
Carolina's 3-3, and you just chopped my head off for talking about the Panthers.
I mean, I'm going to tell you this. Well, I got the schedule right here.
It's not like I said Minnesota's getting into the playoffs.
It's not like terrible.
I said Kirk. You know when Kirk Cousins said, if I die, I die? I realized he was talking about his career. I thought he was talking about the virus in context of that interview. It turns out he was talking about his career, and it appears this is that year for him, given the way that he's played.
So let me ask you, I'm terribly broken up over it. I'm going to take 10 seconds. Can Carolina go 6-4? They've got the Saints, the Falcons, the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Lions, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Packers, the football team, and the Saints. They're going to lose to the Saints twice. That's two. They're going to lose to the Packers. That's three. They're going to lose to the Bucks. That's four. They're going to lose to the Chiefs. That's five.
Okay, let's just move along here. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Let's move along. And what did that put him at, 8-8? Like, this is dumb. Let's move on to, and by the way, we'll blow up this whole plan. Blow up the whole plan this weekend when the 49ers play the Patriots. Bill Belichick had, so let me put a little disclaimer on this. The opposing coaches' conference calls, they're just that. They're a conference call. Like, with a, you know, speaker, and it's very archaic. So forgive the sound quality of this, but I want you to hear it because it's noteworthy for a number of different reasons. Bill Belichick was asked about Jimmy Garoppolo, who we spoke nice about. He was asked about the 49ers, who we spoke nice about. He obviously likes Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and the rest of that crew there. But then he was asked about George Kittle. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say about George Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle's a great player. He does everything well. He's probably, I put him right at the top of the league there, period. Ability to run, catch, get open, after the catch, block. I mean, he does everything at a high level. Again, as good as anybody that I've coached or as good as anybody that we played against. He's got a great skill set, and 49ers put him in positions that, again, really stress the defense and, you know, make it hard. But then they also use him as a...
So I'm going to – there's 49 more seconds of Bill Belichick praising Jimmy Garoppolo as – praising George Kittle, and as captivating as Coach Bill Belichick was there in that conference call. I'll go ahead and end it there. But it wasn't lost on anyone that Bill Belichick decided to throw in the line. He's as talented as anyone I've ever coached or anyone we've ever coached against.
So I heard about this. And I heard about it from you. I heard about it from a couple other people. And people saying, taking shots at Gronk. I got to disagree.
Okay. You're allowed to do that.
He said, as good as anybody I've coached. He's saying as good as Gronk. Even if he were to say he's better. Okay. Say he's better. Like, whatever. But he didn't. He said, as good as anybody I've coached or played against. He is Rob Gronkowski is going to the Hall of Fame. He's saying he's as good as a Hall of Fame tight end that I coach. He's that good. I didn't think that was a shot at Gronk at all. But okay. But you're not alone in feeling that way. Like before I actually heard it, I've heard other people talking about, wow, he took a shot at Gronk. What?
I don't even know that I think it was a shot. Yeah, I kind of do. I do think it was a shot. Because I just didn't think like he needed to point that out. He's as good as anyone we've ever seen. There it is.
So is that a shot at Gronk?
No, he's as good as anyone we've ever seen.
Because Bill Belichick has seen Gronk, so he could be throwing shots at Gronk because as good as anybody I've ever seen. That includes Gronk, so I'm throwing, like, come on now, come on. He said as good as anybody I've ever seen. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, that's fine. And part of me is like I don't buy into Bill Belichick's little like shtick here with the media where he's a total tool. I know people think it's funny and it's charming and they imitate his voice and do all these short form answers. By the way, and I wasn't kidding. He went on for like 45 more seconds. This was like a 86. I could tell you the exact number. It's an 82 second answer from Bill Belichick. Think about that for a second. Bill Belichick answered a question for 82 straight seconds, and it was about George Kittle. So, but normally it's, I think his answer about like Jimmy Garoppolo, there was some question about, you know, we've gotten, I think the question they asked him was, well, we've gotten John Lynch's, you know, side on the trade with Jimmy Garoppolo. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And Bill was like, that was 4 years ago. I think they've moved on. We've moved on. That was the end of it. What do you think the 49ers do well? Oh, they're really well coached. They've got some talented players. They space the field out. That was the end of the answer. he gave a slightly extended answer for Jimmy Garoppolo, and then he gave that very long answer for George Kittle. But I pointed it out, part again, admittedly, kind of biased, that I don't find his shtick like humorous at all. So if you told me he was taking a shot at Rob Gronkowski there in the midst of that answer, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
because it'll get passed off as like cute and funny and charming, and that's what Bill Belichick does. And I don't find it cute or charming one single bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess when you win, you could do whatever you want to. Like when Matt Patricia tried to pull this stunt a couple of years ago, it was like, dude, you've got to be kidding me.
You are not Bill Belichick. Relax.
Yeah, you very much are not. Get familiar with the EDD process, homie, because your time is coming. But when you win, like Pop does the same thing.
Yeah. And I take it you don't like Pop either.
I don't
but like what he does.
The thing I'll give Pop is the only time he does that really is in game. He's made it a 1,000,000% clear that he hates those in-game interviews between quarters. And it used to be like, oh, it was funny. Oh, what's he going to do? It was a running bit with Sager, and I was fine with that because they were both in on it. Mm. But I've had Doris Burke on previous shows before, and Doris was like, we had one that was so humiliating, I asked the TV producer not to air it. And they didn't. They were like, no, we saw it. Like, we won't. It's fine. Mm. And so, like, I don't find that funny. But with Pop, in the locker room or at press conferences, while he might be surly, he's going to answer your question. If he thinks it's a dumb question, he'll tell you it's a dumb question, but he'll more than likely answer it. With Belichick, he doesn't answer stuff. He just mumbles through things and hopes that you get bored along the way and tune him out, which is precisely why I cut off the final four. There were 45 more seconds of that. And again, the entire time he's praising George Kittle. He even, you know, ended the remark with saying, you know, George Kittle is, he has no weakness. He's as good of a player that's out there. I just realized looking at the countdown clock, I wasn't going to make it into the 48 seconds listening to that.
Well, see, so like coming from Bill Belichick's point of view, like, you take the Jimmy Garoppolo question, for example. Like, what do we want him to say there?
It's not like, the best question. I understand that. Like, and I isolated that question because I listened to this entire conference call earlier this morning. Like, that's just the question that popped into mind. But you could go back to any question.
But even things like, and I'm not here to get on anybody's question because they're just asking questions. But it's like, just for instance, you lost last week against Denver. What do you guys need to do against San Francisco? What do you think we need to do? We need to play well. We need to not turn the ball over. We need to score a touchdown. Like, what? Come on. Like,
well, there are lazy questions. And reporters in Boston are smart enough to not use words like talk about or tell us. Like, they ask actual questions. But when you ask a question like that, you can tell when Bill Belichick or Greg Popovich likes a question because they'll answer it differently. If you ask him a question like the one that you just presented hypothetically, he's going to give you that trash answer because he thinks the question is trash.
Right.
And I think there are a lot of I listen to a lot of reporters ask questions since we started this show, and I've had to tune into all the Kyle Shanahan's press conferences, and there is at least a couple of times where I'm like, what? Like, what made you ask that? Like, I'm like, what column are you writing that made you ask that question? It's like, there are bad questions in this business. And here's a golden rule for aspiring journalists. Here's two golden rules. One, don't ask multiple questions at the same time. Two, if your question is longer than their answer, you failed. So anyone who is aspiring to be a journalist, remember those two notes right there.
I'm going to take those notes too from Dr. D'Lo right there. But I come from a place where if I was a coach, I'd like to think, because I kind of like that kind of stuff, I'd be like Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, I'd answer questions, I'd be engaging. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but I also don't have a problem with the Bill Belichick's monotone forward answers. Like,
I think you'd have a problem if you had to interview him every day, or if you had to ask questions every day, or you had to write a column every day, or if you had to have an angle every day. I think it's easy for us. And there are some guys like Tommy Curran, God bless him, he's dealt with this for who knows how many years. He just knows how to deal with it at this point. He's established enough there in the Boston media and in the national sports media to where he just knows how to deal with it. But like, you imagine trying to cut your teeth in Boston. Imagine like you're the new kid at the Boston Globe and your job is to cover the New England Patriots, and you think it's a dream job, and you go in there for your first, scrum with Bill Belichick, you're nervous as hell. You drop the ball, and you get one of those. You get one of those surly answers from Bill Belichick.
Poor kid.
Probably. Right, exactly. Hey, it's a shame what happened to old Jimmy from the Globe. He didn't make it past week one. We're going to go one-on-one here in just a heartbeat. We got sidetracked. We have folks calling in. We were talking. We had the news about arenas potentially opening up in the state of California. I repeat that, potentially opening up in the state of California. But the World Series gets underway tonight. You can hear that exclusively here on ESPN 1320. The Rays and the Dodgers, much will be made, at least leading into Game 1. I think this conversation will likely die following today, but much has been made about the payrolls for the two different teams. As we have noted here on Monday, the Los Angeles Dodgers with the number 2 payroll, the Tampa Bay Rays with the number 28 payroll. That is rounding up and rounding down, $108 million versus $28 million. To take it a step further, the Los Angeles Dodgers outfield, just the outfield, makes $26 million. The Tampa Bay Rays as a whole make $28 million.
Wow. I agree with you about the story dying down, but it will not die down if the Rays are winning the series and win the series. That'll be the story.
I think it'll die today and it'll come back if the Rays wind up winning.
Right.
But it'll be like, look what they did. But, you know, the focus is going to be on these players. And these are essentially, this probably isn't a fair term to use. These are like castaways. Like, these are just players. Like, they got 16 of their players through trade. 57% of their 28-man roster was acquired through trade. And only 4 players were homegrown drafted players for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing in Tampa Bay. I never do. Like, it's not even like a, it's not even like an A's money ball situation. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know anything about Tampa Bay Rays baseball. I really don't. But, like, yeah, these guys, they just kind of come out of nowhere. Isn't it like I say A's money ball situation where it seems like, I could be wrong, but it seems like the A's develop these guys in their system, you know, in their minor league system or whatever the case may be, bring them up, they, you know, turn up, do whatever they do, and then they can't pay them. Maybe that's the same thing that happens with the Rays, but yeah, I know they're my Rays. I know that.
They are your Rays, your Tampa Bay Rays since 2008. Since 2008, your Tampa Bay Rays have spent the least of any team in Major League Baseball. Not surprisingly, the New York Yankees, over that same time span, have spent the most. The Rays have been to twice as many World Series as the New York Yankees. Of course, I say that with a grin, as it's 2-1. 2 for the Rays, 1 the New York Yankees.
Yeah, sucks for them. Now, the one thing that I always want to be aware of and be mindful of when you talk about this stuff is it's not like the Rays have to spend that little amount of money. The owner can spend what he wants to spend, and he has the money to spend maybe not $108 million, but he don't have to spend $28 million. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. Oakland A's owner, I can't remember what he owns. He owns something crazy, like worth. His net worth is a billion and a half or something like that. But yet he chooses to shut down the minor league operations, and he chooses not to have a certain payroll. So a lot of the times when people talk about the Rays and the A's and teams like that, they're like, oh, poor, you know, Rays and A's and stuff. No. The owners are making the decision to do this because they want to, not because they have to. And they'll spend it whatever way they need to say, like, see, we just can't afford it. We don't have the revenue. I'm going to look it up. Maybe Jesse could look it up or something. The A's owner is worth maybe a couple billion. Maybe a couple billion. And he wants to play like, well, we can't. There's no way we can pay these guys. No, stop. Stop.
Well, I hate equating the two. I hate equating the payroll of the baseball team to shutting down the minor league system, because I feel like those are two different things.
I say that just because Once again, I'll look it up. I don't want to speak out of turn, but
it's $2.4 billion. He's the son of Gap's founders.
Come on, man. And I think it would have been like, I'm literally just spitballing right here. It was like a couple, let's just say $50 million to make sure the whole AAA operations got paid and stuff this year.
I don't think
I'm not into
even
telling people how to spend their money, but come on, man, $2.4 billion. And you want me to cry for you? Ain't that, no.
I don't think
that
it was even close to $50 million.
Yeah,
I think it's something just shockingly lower than that. But again, I don't think they're the same. The payroll, like again, it's a storyline. I think it'll be a storyline entering game one tonight, and then I think it's going to go away. The numbers that matter are these: 2.43, 3.68, 4.84. And 5.40. That's Clayton Kershaw's ERA from the regular season to the wild card in the division series, then into the league championship, and then that 5.4 is his World Series ERA.
Wow. Every time, every year, every single year, I say to myself, he can't be this bad again. Like, he's getting another opportunity. This will be the year that he snaps out of it and he balls out in the postseason. And it never happens. And I feel that way again tonight. He's the game one starter. I'm expecting Clayton Kershaw to pitch well tonight. He can't get bombed again, can he?
I mean, I hope not. I hope not. But he wasn't particularly great in the last series. So I don't know, man. Like, I hope not. Like, I don't want to say I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you better.
But
not. You better not. I'm gonna leave it. I'll leave it there. We'll fight. We'll fight.
I'll leave it there. This is the Dodgers' 21st World Series. Of course, they're seeking their first World Series title since 1988, and you can hear it tonight here.
Go Rays!
Yes, your Tampa Bay Rays.
Damian Burling, Kenny Caraway, four topics, two arguments, no winners. One-on-one with D'Lo and KC.
You know, we've talked a lot about Raheem Mostert, who we believe is headed to IR. We've talked about all of the IR issues we've had, and we believe that Jamichael Hasty is going to be the feature back. And I'll say this, having listened to Kyle Shanahan yesterday, he didn't exactly glow about Jamichael Hasty. Now, his time in there was limited, and then again, Jamichael Hasty didn't do anything spectacular. But he didn't sound like he was, I don't know, he didn't sound like he was moved by Jamichael Hasty, as many people in the media are screaming, hey, if Mostert's out, and that appears to be the case, let's see more of Jamichael Hasty. So let me ask you this. Should the 49ers have made an aggressive play for Le'Veon Bell? And let me preface this while you're thinking. We don't know if they did or they didn't. I think we're under the assumption that they didn't. But let's operate under, they didn't land him. They obviously didn't land him. He's in Kansas City. Should they have attempted to go out and get Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I certainly believe that they, this is an old, it's not, they didn't invent it, but you hear this a lot with the 49ers organization, especially when they don't sign somebody. They might have kicked the tires on Le'Veon Bell, right, and then decided against it. Should they have been aggressive against him? I don't know. My first thought is the way Le'Veon traditionally runs doesn't fit Kyle Shanahan's scheme. Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not Brian Baldwinger or nothing like that. I'm not no breakdown of film, but just my elementary understanding of the way that run game goes, it doesn't seem to fit up with what Le'Veon Bell likes to do, the whole being patient and sitting back behind the line and then hitting a hole after being like a dead stop. That doesn't seem to be like what Kyle Shanahan likes to do with his running back. So my first thought is it just wouldn't have been a good marriage. But I don't know. Like, I'm a big believer in just getting as many playmakers in the building as you can. And yeah, it would have been cheap. He's already paid for, you know, from, you know, being released by the Jets, and getting him on your roster would have been really cheap. To answer your question straight up, yeah, probably so. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, we don't know that they didn't. I think we're all under the assumption that they didn't. They obviously didn't land him. If they thought he was like a top priority, they probably could have landed him. I don't know what he wound up getting with Kansas City, but as you noted, his paycheck isn't coming from Kansas City. It wasn't going to come from Miami, and quite honestly, it wouldn't have come from San Francisco. Whatever money he got on top of what he got from New York would have been gravy. But given what we know about Mostert, I like the idea of them going after Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was a free agent. But I was told, it was actually Kyle Madsen who I was talking to at the time. He was like, they'll never do that. Like, he's looking for a big money contract, and they're not going to do that for a running back. They just absolutely will not. And it was like, okay, well, now that he's not a big money running back, he could potentially still play like one, but the money's not going to be there. Would you make a play for it? I guess we'll all see. Like, we'll find out tomorrow, probably around this time. Who their feature back is going to be this week. We'll certainly find out who got a bulk of the first team reps in their first practice of the week tomorrow. So whether it's Hasty or, you know, maybe he sticks with McKinnon, or maybe it's split a little bit more evenly. Jeez. We don't know the status of Wilson yet, so it'll just be something that we've got to keep our eyes on as we head into the first practice of the week tomorrow.
You know, I'm not going to dive too far into it because I like Jerick McKinnon. I love his story. I don't want to, as you like to point out, I don't want to be disrespectful. So
I hear you.
No, I'm just going to say I hope it's Hasty's.
I hope
Hasty gets a good opportunity at it. And I'm going to leave it at that. All right. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but I wanted to bring it back for one-on-one. The Dallas Cowboys, they lost last night. All right. It wasn't even competitive. They look ridiculous out there against the Arizona Cardinals. Andy Dalton not slinging that thing all around. They were terrible, right? But at the end of the day, they at 2-4 are still in first place in the NFC East. We mentioned earlier when Philly from Foothill called and said, what is the number of wins the NFC East champion is going to have, champion, as I put up quotation marks, is going to have.
Yeah.
We kind of both settled around 6.
Yeah.
Damian, is this the worst group, the worst collection of teams you have ever seen in one division?
I can't imagine one being worse. I can't remember, and this is hyperbole, of course. I don't remember the NFC West.
It was the West. I looked last night at the standings. It was not like this.
It didn't end up that way. Okay. And so the killer, you know, we were talking about this. Maybe they boot a division after this year. The bad part about all of that is Marshawn Lynch ruined it for everybody. He gave us that fantastic moment against the Saints. We get the beast mode. We get the birth of beast mode there against New Orleans, and it's like, yo, that 7-9 team went on to beat New Orleans. So you could have what we believe is going to be a 6-9-1 NFC East champion, Philadelphia. Like right now, off the top of my head, yeah, this is the worst. And Philly, in their defense, they've had like a series of buried alive matches against the Undertaker, and their starters have just been completely, virtually their entire offense has been wiped out through the first 6 weeks of this season. So I don't believe Philadelphia is actually this bad, but the circumstances of the season have put them in a position where they are this bad. Yeah. I can't imagine one worse. This is bad.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it when you talk about the Cowboys is losing Dak, obviously, is a potential season killer. That's big. But their defense is going to suck regardless. Like, their defense is no good whatsoever. I went to that 2010 NFC West standings that we talked about, which is previously looked at as the worst division in the history of NFL football or whatever you want to say.
Sure.
Seahawks got in at 7-9. They were tied at 7-9 with the Rams. The 49ers were 6-10. The Arizona Cardinals were last at 5-11, right? I don't think there's any way that the Giants and the Redskins finish with 5 wins, let alone 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to be 2, 3, 4 wins max. This is going to be the worst division we've ever lived through. Ever. It's crazy.
It's history, kids. It's history. Okay, let's stay in the NFL. What happens first? The Titans get their first loss, or the Jets get their first win?
This is easy.
Yeah,
this is easy. Titans get their first loss. And then you know why it's easy?
Yeah.
Because the Jets ain't winning this year.
Yeah. I knew I said this was a dumb question.
You talking about this year or next year? Because the Jets ain't winning this year.
Yeah. This was a full on. This is one of those questions that would piss off Bill Belichick. I don't even know why I asked this one. Sorry. Move along. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I mean, just to make
everybody.
Sure you agree, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupid. The Jets are awful. I still feel like they're going to fall into a win.
I was about to ask you, are you coming on my side?
No, I can't see them going 0-16. It's so rare. They're going to beat the Chargers, or they're going to beat the Dolphins. Hell, they might beat the Cleveland freaking Browns. I don't know. They're going to fall into a win. My one caveat would be, if Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the end of the year, this team is going to lose all their games. At some point, they've got to bench Joe Flacco and say, God, you're worse than we thought you were. Let's put our third-string quarterback in, and then maybe they win a game. But I can't. 0-16 is so rare, I don't think it happens.
Oddly enough, you feel that as long as they start Joe Flacco, they'll go 0-16. I think if they go back to Sam Darnold, never win with Sam Darnold.
No. Maybe they'll never win, like, figuratively, like, win, like, be a winning friend. But they'll win a game. Like, Joe Flacco sucks, dude. He is awful. He has been awful for years. He has been stealing money from the National Football League for at least 5 freaking years. He is awful. Sam Darnold's not that yet.
Well, let me ask you this. What's your feelings on James Morgan?
Am I supposed to pretend like I know who that is?
That's the third-string quarterback that you're talking about.
Better than Joe Flacco.
If they got rid of Flacco, they would go to James Morgan.
The James Morgan is better than Joe Flacco right now today.
James Morgan, fourth-round pick out of Florida International.
Better than Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco that play on Sunday where he ran back like 25 yards and got sacked?
It was 28. Just to be exact, it was 28. And to you listening to this, you're better than Joe Flacco. Everybody, I don't care if you're 6 years old and you're listening to this, you're better than Joe Flacco. Remember that as your day moves along. And I'm so ashamed of myself for that question. I apologize.
Jets ain't winning this year. My man Aceberg Slim out in Shaolin, out in New York City, he's a Jets fan. They ain't winning this year.
Okay.
It ain't happening.
So, Aceberg Slim?
Aceberg Slim. That's the family, okay. Man. That's my cousin. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man Ace.
Okay.
Ace right. Boogie. I got one more for you, Damian.
All right.
And it's one of my favorites.
Okay.
Because, yes, fake trade alert. Trade alert. Tragic Bronson alert. Fake trade alert.
I got you theme music for this fake trade alert. What do we got? Just a rerun running down the street with the basketball and suspenders. Well, what do we got here?
I got one for you, and I want to bring this to your table. You know, I want to bring it to the table. You know, I've been working out a trade. Actually, I can't take credit for this one. Zach Lowe, writer for ESPN, him and Bill Simmons got together, was talking about the offseason, and they're hell-bent.
You're already off to a bad start, by the way, but okay.
That the Kings are going to try to make some kind of splash here to try and get into the playoff race, right? And they came up with a trade, and you tell me what you think. The Kings' number 12 pick, Rashawn Holmes, Nemanja Bjelica, a future top 5 protected pick.
Damn.
All going to the Warriors. For the number
for
two
Steph
pick.
Steph Curry, yes. Yes, for Steph
the number
Curry.
Two pick in this year's draft. Dude, are you with that? Are you good with that? Oh, come on. I would do it.
Why?
Why not?
Okay. All right. Wiseman, I assume, is where we're going here.
I'd go with Wiseman.
You have to be in love with James Wiseman and know, okay, he is a corner piece of our franchise moving forward. It's not even Rashawn Holmes. Obviously,
that's
Rashawn
my
Holmes. Rashawn Holmes was extraordinary this year. Your belief is, your question has to be, do you believe that he can replicate that? Do you believe that what we saw last year is the player that he is? Belly, inconsequential in this conversation. Even the 12, like, that's fine. That's fair. You're swapping out of the first round. What I don't like is the protected pick later.
top five protected.
Top 10.
If you can negotiate, you're always about the negotiation. If you could do that, that'd be great too.
Top five protected just seems like that seems insane to me. Like it's the top 10.
So if they said okay to top 10, you would do the trade.
I would be more swayed to do the trade. I'm not even all
What's
in
the
on
hold
this
up?
Yet. Because
I gave you the top 10.
If,
What's
I
the
understand.
Hold up?
If Monty, because I can't get in touch with my feelings right now. If Monty McNair and this staff decide we love James Wiseman, and he is the perfect player to complement De'Aaron Fox. He is going to be a cornerstone of our franchise for at minimum the next 8 years, and we're going to be so good, we're going to win him over. He's going to spend his career here. If that's how they feel, yes, they should do it. If the conversation is, well, do we like James Wiseman? Yeah. Well, we like a couple of these other players. Like, yeah, well, we like him. Like, yeah, we like him. That doesn't do it. Like, you have to love them. And, top five, that's insane. It's got to be top 10. If you give me top 10, you've increased my emotional capacity for this trade a little bit more.
I'm going to be honest with you, Damon. I would do it with top five.
I know you would, because you're a terrible negotiator. You give away the house before the house. you go like all in right away, and it's like, hey.
Because you're giving me what I want, and you can't put a price on me getting what I want. I get the number two pick in the draft. You also talk about financial flexibility. That's another guy that you're going to have on a rookie deal. You're going to have control of him basically for another 8 years.
All right.
Let me call. I'm going to call after the show. I'm going to call.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we find out how much they love those players at the top of the draft first before you start negotiating these deals?
No,
and I don't
call.
Want you negotiating anything because you're really bad at this. Can you just throw everything? You don't even negotiate.
Get what I want.
You throw out your like best offer like at once, like right away, and you get like your heart invested in this potential deal being done. You do this with all of your fake trades. Every single one.
I get what I want. I get what I want. I get what I want. I want the two. I want these guys out of here. I get what I want.
You want your Rays and the Dodgers tonight here, and we've got it for you on ESPN 1320 coming up around 5 o'clock. Make sure that you're locked in here. Of course, we'll recap everything that happens tomorrow. We should have word on how things go at the first practice of the week for the San Francisco 49ers. If you missed any part of today's show, download the radio.com app in the App Store. Use the Rewind feature, also the exclusive home of the D'Lo and KC podcast. I'm Damian Barling. He's Kenny Caraway. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are coming up next here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.